A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up to a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, conversing with him. And Peter said to Jesus in reply, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud cast a shadow over them. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell prostrate and were very much afraid. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise, do not be afraid." And when the disciples raised their eyes, they saw no one else but Jesus alone. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus charged them, "Do not tell the vision to anyone until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The Gospel of the Lord. So today we read that St. Paul writes to Timothy, a young bishop in the early church, 20 or 30 years after Jesus died and rose from the dead. And he says, "Beloved, bear your share of hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God." Bear your share of hardship for the gospel. He doesn't paint a rosy picture for Timothy, the new bishop. He doesn't whitewash all the persecution and all the difficulties that they're facing in the early church. He doesn't sugarcoat anything. Bear your share of hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God. Today we read of the transfiguration of Jesus. And where Jesus allows his divinity to shine through briefly for these three apostles. He seen in all his glory up on the mountain. And yet they have to come down the mountain and head toward Jerusalem where there'll be persecution. You remember that book by Scott Peck some years ago, The Road Less Traveled. It became a phenomenal bestseller for years and years. I looked it up. I said, when did that book come out? It was 1978. But it was on the bestseller list for so long. And it was powerful. So he was kind of a psychologist. And his basic insight was right in the first line of the book. And it starts out saying, "Life is hard." Life is hard. And we shouldn't expect it to be anything less than hard. Right? And he goes through the book and he's explaining how, first of all, we have to accept that fact and get out of denial that somehow we deserve an easy ride. That we have to accept the fact that if we're going to grow, it requires discipline. And discipline means delaying gratification. It means accepting responsibility. It means dedicating ourselves to the truth. And that pain is necessary for development. He encourages people throughout the book to embrace their responsibility rather than putting blame on everybody else. I'm the victim, no? It's somebody else's fault when I have a mess. He says we have to commit ourselves to the truth, even when it's uncomfortable, even when it means we're wrong. In short, he's making the argument that love and spiritual growth require effort, right? And just because something's difficult doesn't mean it's wrong. Instead, it's the path to success. We do well to remember that all the time, but we also have to look at the gospel, I think, in that light, because it's very consistent with what St. Paul is saying to Timothy here. Bear your share of hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God. No doubt there were Christians in the early days thinking that, okay, Christ, the Son of God came and he suffered and died for us and rose, and then he cured all these people and all these miracles. So all the struggle is over. And St. Paul was trying to disabuse him of that idea, that it's just the beginning. And Jesus allows us to see that transfiguration, because, yeah, that's the end goal, but it's not immediate. First, we have to come down the mountain, and we have to deal with the real world. And as St. Paul will say somewhere else, work out our salvation in fear and trembling. Because, yeah, the world around us is very nasty at times and very difficult. Life is hard. Jesus was trying to show those disciples a vision of the future to strengthen them, because they would have to witness the crucifixion. You know, and whenever we face something, we want to find the easy way out of it. No, we want to find the gimmick. I confess, I do that too. A few months ago, I got a really bad blood test, you know. You know, diabetic, bad numbers. So what do? Immediately, go to the internet and start looking up all the quick fixes. If you mix hot water with turmeric and olive oil and some other junk, cayenne pepper or something, in 3 days it'll be all gone. Yeah. Easy. Ain't gonna happen. No matter how many times you scroll through and look for stuff like that, you gotta do the hard work, which I'm learning. Alright. It requires that we have to put in the work. And those apostles were going to have to recognize that sooner or later. That, yeah, they were going to have to go out and preach in a world of hostility and see often their message misunderstood, themselves persecuted, or just be met with indifference as they tried to preach how Jesus had come to free them from sin. They would see many people prefer the life of sin and never get the message of truth and freedom. And we know, too, from our own spiritual lives that it requires ongoing effort. I remember seeing a video a while back of one of those ancient civilizations down in southern Mexico, you know, where they had these advanced civilizations in pre-colonial times, and they had these cities all developed, but they've disappeared. And now they've rediscovered some of them. They were abandoned and then all overgrown by the jungle. And all these buildings and pyramids and amazing structures that they had, just the creeping influence of the jungle. And that's the way it's like. You see an abandoned home in your neighborhood, nobody lives there, and little by little it starts falling apart. That's the way it is with us, too. It takes constant work and attention. And we face that when we go out in the world. Maybe many of us are people who have the grace to be very compassionate people. And we want to go and exercise that love and compassion with others, but we get worn down by the suffering that we see and the indifference of so many people to it all. Maybe we've got the gift of being something of peacemakers. And that's our inclination, and we really look to bring people together. And then we see how complicated a lot of conflicts are. And that there's some reason on both sides. And then we have to find a way to be prudent and engage without making things worse. And that takes a lot of prudence and a lot of wisdom. And maybe we've got the gift of being very honest people, and we admire situations and systems that work with integrity and honesty. And yet we find ourselves maybe in the workplace, in a place that's kind of corrupt or has a culture that's just not honest. And it takes continuous effort for us to try to be constructive there. And the easy thing is just to check out and say, who cares? I'm out of here. My retirement's coming up soon. Just going to keep my head down. And yet, growth means continual effort and perseverance. So we see the transfiguration. That's the glory of God, and that's where we're going one day too. And yet we have to come down that mountain and continue to put in the hard work. Without getting cynical, without losing heart. And remember, St. Paul says to Timothy, bear your share of hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God. It's not like God just throws us out there, sink or swim. But the strength that comes from God, where does that come from? It comes from the sacraments like the Eucharist. It comes from confession. It comes from our baptism where we're made children of God. It comes from the constant graces God's asking, offering us, as long as we're asking. See, the disciples had to go up that mountain to encounter God, to hear the voice. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. And how many times when we get frustrated trying to do good, trying to persevere, and we realize we haven't really been listening to Christ. We think that maybe the wisdom of the world is kind of more on than the teaching of Jesus. And yet that's wrong. We think maybe that Christ's voice isn't really relevant because this world is different and complicated and evil. Yet Jesus is the hope of the world. So we have to go up to that mountain and we have to hear the word of God the Father. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. And when we listen to him, we find the strength to persevere in the struggle through the cross to the glory of God.